This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning, it is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. WCHL, 74 degrees, partly sunny, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, only 20%, high today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, more of the same kind of weather, slight chance of rain, low in the low 70s. And then tomorrow, exactly the same as today, partly sunny, 20% chance of rain, high in the low 90s. So hot and muggy weather will stay with us for a while. Many of us who watched the Rogers Road community fight for sewer services for a long time. The Environmental Protection Agency announced plans recently to investigate claims of racial discrimination by the Orange County Planning Department towards the neighborhood. This has created questions on how much the county can do now to help and how all this will affect the work of the Rogers Road Task Force. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Well, we've just heard so much of the same things before. I think that this final document that will come in August should clarify a lot of things and get us back on track. That was one of the better parts of it, is that we did come up with some definite dates and times for our expectations on getting a lot of things accomplished.
That's David Caldwell, president of the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. He was commenting on the progress that the Rogers Road Task Force made at their meeting on Wednesday. Because the neighborhood is stretched over the jurisdictions of Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County, decisions on how to provide services to the area have been challenging. That's why a task force made up of elected leaders from the three municipalities was charged with finding a solution. Rena filed the EPA complaint back in 2007, alleging that the county's failure to apply for federal grants to fund the Rogers Road sewer extension was because of intentional discrimination. Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich told WCHL prior to the task force meeting Wednesday that she was concerned that the county could not move forward with any recommendations due to the investigation. Fellow Commissioner Renee Price echoed the same sentiments at the meeting.
This is just an investigation. There may be no mediation. Who knows what's going to happen with this? Right now, it's just an investigation. We have no idea what's going to be the need for a type of settlement.
Beth Aninen, a community inclusion attorney fellow at the UNC Center for Civil Rights, the office representing RENA in their EPA complaint, said that an investigation does not mean the county's action will be halted. Rich disagreed and said that the county attorney ordered that they not vote on any final decisions. Aninen explained because it is a complaint and not a lawsuit, it most likely can't be dropped and a timeline for resolution is unknown. She said there's a possible option to seek mediation between the county and RENA through EPA investigators. Aninen additionally added that if the task force were to move forward with a recommendation for sewer infrastructure, investigators would likely work with the county at that point. Despite the looming EPA investigation, the task force did make progress on several measures. The group passed a motion to preference a $5.8 million sewer plan that will serve 86 properties. The proposal, however, is contingent upon Chapel Hill extending an ETJ to include the neighborhood. Lee Starro of the Chapel Hill Town Council explained the council's rationale to consider an ETJ extension.
I don't want to treat our first step as an immediate endorsement by all nine members of the council of an ETJ process, but we felt that if we didn't start and if we didn't get moving, we're going to keep punting the ball and not making decisions.
The task force's next and final meeting is set for August 21st. When they hope to have a final draft of what action will be taken. The next step is then to present the report to their respective boards. To read more about the decisions made at this Wednesday's meeting, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
More local people are jumping into the race to represent you with less than 2 days now until the filing period ends. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
Andrew Davidson filed on Wednesday to run for Chapel Hill Harbor City School Board, and earlier this week, Megan Layla Carmichael filed to run for the Hillsborough Board of Commissioners. Davidson is running for one of three available seats on the school board. One of those seats will be open. Current board member Gregory McElveen is an incumbent whose term expires this year. He says he will not be running for re-election. The other two incumbents, James Barrett and Michelle Brownstein, have both already filed for re-election. Davidson has been chair of the Frank Porter Graham School Improvement Team for the past year. He was a member of the team while the school was transitioning to a dual language program. program.
Serving during the year where that decision was made and then being the chair during a transition year, I think it was about as relevant experience as you can get.
Meanwhile, in Hillsborough, two seats are available on the town's Board of Commissioners. Neither of the two incumbents are running this year. Carmichael is one of three local residents who has filed to run for those two open seats. She's a certified public accountant. She says she's never run for public office before, but she's excited for the chance to work for Hillsborough.
I spend a lot of time in Hillsborough and have been connected with a lot of my neighbors and community members, and I just want to make sure that the voices of all Hillsborough residents are represented.
The deadline to file for municipal or school board office is July 19th, this Friday at noon. Election day itself is November 5th. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
For the full story and these and all the November candidates, visit our website at chapelboro.com. Members of the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board hope to adopt a new budget tonight, despite the fact that the General Assembly spending plan is still up in the air. School officials are looking to trim the local budget in anticipation of state-level cuts that could cost the district up to $1.3 million in funding for teacher assistance. The school board spent much of its last meeting reevaluating spending priorities to make sure enough local funding is set aside to cover the budget shortfall. But administrators are backing away from a plan to cut the number of gifted education specialists at each elementary, recommending that the district forego hiring new middle school literacy coaches instead. The legislature is still working out the details of next year's state budget. If the state cuts prove to be more than anticipated, school officials say they'll have to make do with one less teaching assistant at each of the district's 11 elementary schools. The board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lincoln Center on South Merritt Mill Road. With a signature by Governor Pat McCrory, the Tax Simplification and Reduction Act will be the first change to our tax code in about 80 years. Wednesday, the House and Senate needed one more vote on the Tax Simplification and Reduction Act before it was sent to Governor McCrory for a signature. Last Monday, North Carolina's legislature unveiled the act. On Tuesday, the House and Senate tentatively voted on the bill with strong GOP approval and very little liberal support. When the tax code was written in 1930, North Carolina was based on a manufacturing economy. But as the state has progressed, it has evolved into a service economy. North Carolina only taxes about 30 services, which is low compared to most states. North Carolina Senator Ellie Kinnaird of Chapel Hill says the tax code contains so many loopholes and exemptions that she compares it to Swiss cheese. Senator Kinnaird says she thinks that expanding the sales tax would be more effective than lowering corporate and individual income taxes.
They should have, and they didn't, completely rewrite the tax code to extend the sales tax to many, many services, but then lower the sales tax rate way down. That would have given us a more accurate reflection of revenue based on what our economy is. Then what they did instead was they decided to lower the other two taxes that are the main sources of revenue, which is the individual income tax and the corporate income tax.
The legislature removed the estate tax and earned income tax credit, which Senator Kinnaird says kept about 500,000 working poor from falling into a deeper financial struggle.
Instead of doing tax reform, they've put us into a position where we have greatly disadvantaged the middle and lower classes to the advantage of people who are at the top.
Instead of a three-tier personal income tax system, the legislature is instituting a flat tax of 5.8% by 2014. With a three-tier personal income tax system, the wealthier people pay a higher percentage than the middle and lower class. With a 5.8% flat tax, everyone will pay the same percentage, which Senator Kinnaird says will impact the lower and middle classes much more than the wealthy.
Now we've taken away the graduated income tax. We have a flat tax, which will be 5.8% and finally 5.75%. Well, this means that the same rate is charged to a person making $30,000 is $300,000 is $3 million. That's just not fair.
Also starting in 2014, tax-free holidays for back-to-school shopping and Energy Star appliances no longer exist. Senator Kinnaird says this change discourages the middle and lower classes from buying school supplies. Buying fewer items leads to less tax revenue, which hurts the economy overall. The legislation raised the tax on mobile and manufactured homes by 30%, which also hurts the lower class that often lives. in these homes. To read the full story on this, there are many more details. You can view it on our website at chapelboro.com. North Carolina Senate Republicans want to hurry legislative activity along now that a tax overhaul is heading to the governor. But House counterparts aren't in a big rush to spend the weekend in Raleigh. Senate Rules Committee Chairman Tom Apodaca of Hendersonville announced yesterday debate for some bills would occur during a rare Saturday session. But he told reporters later he's unsure what will happen. House Rules Chairman Representative Tim Moore of Kings Mountain says he sees no reason to work this week beyond today as normal. He says budget negotiators can remain in Raleigh and is hopeful this year's session can end next week. A North Carolina House debate on a resolution backing constitutional gun rights prompted concerns from Democrats who argued that it criticized national leaders for proposing rules the resolution says would infringe on those rights. The resolution, backed by a 73-35 vote on Wednesday, does not have much force of law and will be sent to members of North Carolina's congressional delegation. Resolution sponsor Republican Michael Speciale of New Bern says the resolution's message is simple. The right to bear arms should not be infringed upon, and any gun restrictions coming from Washington are unconstitutional. Democrats said they supported the Second Amendment, but took issue with language in the resolution, including words saying the president and vice president and members of Congress have proposed laws that would encroach upon that right. WCHL News Time, 7:18, 18 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Our traffic report is brought to you by Glass Half Full. Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun, too. Go online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. Now with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Well, a fair start to the morning this morning, Ron. Traffic moving smoothly for the most part. A little slowdown on 15501, but things are picking up on 15501 now, so all traffic moving smoothly, I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. At least in Orange County, there is an accident to report right now at Airport Boulevard on I-40, and we're seeing this affecting traffic both ways, I-40 eastbound and westbound. Not heavily right now, but that certainly could pick up as people are getting out onto the roadways a little bit more now. So right around the airport, be a little cautious of the quick stops, and give yourself a little extra time to get to work this morning if that is your route. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carver Weather, brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble for your engagement ring or a custom piece that you've been dreaming of. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. It's Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza, next door to Whole Foods. It's 74 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 74 degrees in Hillsboro, 73 in Carver. Partly sunny, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, only slight, 20%. High today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Slight chance of rain continuing with a low around 72. And then tomorrow, partly sunny. 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, again, with a high in the low 90s. So warm weather is definitely going to be with us for a while now. And we may as well just go ahead and get used to it.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
720, 20 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. Chapel Hill and Carborough's Interfaith Council for Social Services has said goodbye to its executive director of 17 years, Chris Moran. The Interfaith Council has been around since 1963, and its goals are to provide shelter, food, direct services, advocacy, and information to people in need. Moran, who was with the IFC for a total of 29 years, made the decision to retire due to medical reasons. We spoke with the interim executive director, John Dorward, about the lasting impact that Chris Moran has had on the IFC.
Chris has been the driving force of the IFC since he got here, and it's been wonderful. He has grown the agency. He has done some magnificent things throughout the community, so he will be missed.
Dorward and Moran have worked together for the last 10 years. Dorward says he's confident that the transition between executive directors will be a smooth one, although Moran's impact won't easily be replaced.
Hopefully I'm up to that task. Those were some big shoes to fill, but I'll do my best to be able to do that. We have an active board of directors. We're just taking care of business and moving forward.
The early steps in developing a new community shelter in our community is underway, thanks to the IFC. A two-story structure on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard will serve as a transitional housing facility for men. There will be 52 beds on a full-time basis and additional 17 beds for emergency conditions such as adverse weather. Interim Executive Director John Dorwart says these kinds of community shelters are important given the lack of affordable housing in Chapel Hill, and especially in the wake of all that flooding we had at the end of June.
I'm not certain that everybody who was displaced has been able to figure it out. Not everybody has family or friends that can take them in.
Some residents in the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard community have responded skeptically to the construction of a shelter in their vicinity. Dorwart says the IFC has already taken steps to address this issue through the Good Neighbor Plan.
There will be a committee that oversees and that meets on a regular basis to see if there are issues, if there are problems, if there are things that come up once we get into the shelter.
While the IFC is waiting for more capital to actually build the shelter, already using some funds procured by U.S. Representative David Price, developers are grading and grassing over the land for the shelter site.
All goes well with that, and it is so far. We anticipate that in the spring of next year, we'll start building the facility, and by the end of next year, early part of 2015, we should be able to move in and begin the program anew over there.
The shelter will be located at the northwest corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Homestead Road, right next to the United Church of Chapel Hill. After breaking ground more than 2 years ago, UNC's newest hospital in Hillsboro is open for patients now. WCHL's Rand Northam is back with the story.
The Hillsboro UNC Hospital's medical office opened July 1st. The complete facility is still 2 years from completion. Vice President of Facilities Planning and Development for UNC Healthcare, Ray Lafreniere, says the 60,000-square-foot building holds a number of different departments.
Some of the clinics and services that are in the building are hematology, medical oncology, laboratory services, radiology, urology, GI medicine, dermatology and skin cancer, pelvic health, OBGYN, and surgical oncology.
Lafreniere says the UNC Hillsboro Hospital is an extension of the main campus hospital, built to transfer the high volume of patients to another treatment location.
Right now, on the main campus, we're at 90%, 95% capacity running most of the time.
The main campus's high volume is due largely to UNC being a state hospital, thus taking patients from all over the state. Lafreniere says the hospital itself should be finished in July 2015. It will be 256,000 square feet and will hold 68 patient beds. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. In the annual ESPYs Awards show on ESPN last night, UNC was the only school in the country with two nominees, two of the four, as a matter of fact, for an ESPY as Best Female College Athlete of the Year. Kara Cannizzaro of the Tar Heel lacrosse team and Crystal Dunn of women's soccer each led their teams to the national championships in their respective sports. The winner was Brittany Griner of Baylor basketball, who led her team to the 2012 national championship. The winners are chosen in a vote of fans and announced in an Oscar-like ESPN telecast from Los Angeles. Tar Heel senior quarterback Bren Renner was named to the 2013 Davey O'Brien Award watch list on Wednesday. This preseason nomination is Renner's second, having also been named to the Maxwell Award list on July 8th. The O'Brien Award goes to the nation's most outstanding college signal caller at the close of the season. Renner will also be looking to stake his claim to some Carolina football records in 2013 following a prolific 2012 campaign featuring 3,356 yards and a school record 28 touchdowns. Entering his senior season, Renner trails T.J. Yates and Darian Durant in all four major passing categories. Just 7 weeks after being drafted by the Miami Marlins, former Tar Heel Colin Moran started his professional baseball career with a bang. The sixth pick in this year's first-year players' draft found the right field fence with two outs for a solo home run and his first professional at-bat. Moran's single-A Greensboro Grasshoppers went on to win the contest against Charleston 4-3. Despite picking up mid-season, Moran told the Greensboro News Observer before the game, "It feels like opening day all over again." Moran finished the game 1-for-3 with a walk. Collins' brother Brian, another former Tar Heel, also had a successful midweek night as he threw a scoreless inning in the AAA All-Star game. Tar Heel alum Nicholas Monroe captured his maiden ATP World Doubles Championship on Sunday, continuing his steady progress up through the professional tennis ranks. Pairing with German Simon Stadler, Monroe defeated the singles winner Carlos Berloque from Argentina and his partner Albert Ramos from Spain by a score of 6-2, 3-6, 10-3 in the final. Along their way to the title, Monroe and Stadler defeated the top-seeded team in straight sets. The win bumps Monroe up to a career-high world doubles ranking. As of Monday, he was ranked 60th in the ATP standings. He's a 2004 UNC graduate who earned All-America honors and was given the Arthur Ashe Mid-East and Region Leadership Sportsmanship Award during his career in Chapel Hill. You can read the full story on our website this morning, chapelbrew.com. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Meanwhile, besides P.J. Hairston, some other current Tar Heels are in the news. This is our Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. While we all have our collective noses in a Twitter over the plight of P.J. Hairston, another UNC athlete has reminded us that 99.9% of the news about Carolina is good. Senior freestyler Stephanie Peacock has already won two medals at the World University Games in Kazan, Russia, and she goes for third sometime today. The pride of Cape Coral, Florida, has made us proud halfway around the world. Peacock first won a gold medal in the 1500 free in a World U Games record of 16:04.44. After swimming the semifinals and finals in the 1600, Stephanie was back in the pool that night to qualify for the 800, which she did. The next day, she finished second by a 0.12th of a second and captured a silver medal. Sometime today, Russian time, she will try to become a three-medal winner in the 400, which is a sprint for these human fish. Peacock has also been sending a diary back to the UNC Athletic website, and it's filled with funny stories. The best was the night she took some of her USA gear outside to trade for swag from other countries. She wanted a Russian T-shirt for her brother, so she traded one of hers to a Russian guy who luckily liked to wear his T-shirt skin tight. Sounds like a win-win trade to me. Then Peacock's plight to get the heck out of Russia is a hoot. Right after the 400 finals, she has to hurry back to her dorm room and await inspection before checking out and heading for the airport. Hopefully she can convince the comrades that her Russian T-shirt was traded fair and square and not ripped off some ripped Ruski's body. We couldn't stand another international headline about one of our athletes committing a crime a million miles away. I can see the headline now in the News and Observer. Peacock picked up for pickpocketing a precious piece of pool gear. The medal she'll be wearing around her neck, of course, were won with her heart and her skill and her smarts. Some attributes way more Tar Heel athletes have than a few who can't seem to stay out of the news for lesser reasons. This is our chance for you. See ya.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Jeez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Frank Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Guard Your ID of Plus Corporation of America. It's half off. $47 for a Guard Your ID stamp set now for $25. Don't wait for someone to steal your identity. Protect it now with a Guard Your ID stamp set. These stamps are designed to conceal private information with a unique pattern that you can stamp onto old bank statements or any other documents. Say goodbye to the paper shredder. This deal includes one large stamp and pad refill, one roller mini and refill, and free shipping. It's half off from Guard Your ID. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather at 7:30. It is 74 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today. Slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Showers, maybe thunderstorms. Our high today in the low 90s. Looks like another muggy day for all of us.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL. And you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Are you a bit forgetful as you get older?
Doesn't mean you have Alzheimer's disease, but at the same time, don't ignore it.
I'm Heather Bosch. Doctors are not talking about the occasional senior moment, misplacing your car keys, for instance. These are patterns in memory loss that start to disrupt your life. You not only lose something, you have trouble retracing your steps to find it. You're having problems completing tasks that used to be familiar. Scientists say some patients notice this 6 years before they start to have trouble on cognitive tests.
And, says Dr. Ronald Peterson,
people are aware that they're not remembering as well as they formerly did, but they're functioning just fine.
Peterson directs the Mayo Clinic's Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. He says often a person's memory issues go undetected by others.
Their performance on memory tests and cognitive tests is normal, and people around them really do not observe any significant change in them. So this is an internal perception.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL, 75 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the low 90s and just a slight chance of a shower or thundershower later on in the day. Many of us have watched the Rogers Road community fight for sewer services for a long time. The Environmental Protection Agency announced plans recently to investigate claims of racial discrimination by the Orange County Planning Department towards that neighborhood. This has created some questions about how much the county can do now to help and how all of this will affect the work of the Rogers Road Task Force. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Well, we've just heard so much of the same things before. I think that this final document that will come in August should clarify a lot of things and get us back on track. That was one of the better parts of it, is that we did come up with some definite dates and times for our expectations on getting a lot of things accomplished.
That's David Caldwell, president of the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. He was commenting on the progress that the Rogers Road Task Force made at their meeting on Wednesday. Because the neighborhood is stretched over the jurisdictions of Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County, decisions on how to provide services to the area have been challenging. That's why a task force made up of elected leaders from the three municipalities was charged with finding a solution. Rena filed the EPA complaint back in 2007, alleging that the county's failure to apply for federal grants to fund the Rogers Road sewer extension was because of intentional discrimination. Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich told WCHL prior to the task force meeting Wednesday that she was concerned that the county could not move forward with any recommendations due to the investigation. Fellow Commissioner Renee Price echoed the same sentiments at the meeting.
This is just an investigation. There may be no mediation. Who knows what's going to happen with this? Right now, it's just an investigation. We have no idea what's going to be the need for a type of settlement.
The task force agreed to explore a second $3.7 million option, providing sewer services for 67 properties in the historic area of Rogers Road. If the first plan doesn't pan out, the task force's next and final meeting is set for August 21st, and they hope to have a final draft of what action will be taken. The next step will then be presented in a report to their respective boards. To read more about other decisions made at Wednesday's meeting, you can read this article on our website at chapelboro.com. Our thanks to Rachel Nash for that report, and again, more details on our website. More locals are jumping into the race to represent you with less than 2 days until the filing period ends. WCHL's Aaron Keck has this report.
Andrew Davidson filed on Wednesday to run for Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board. And earlier this week, Megan Layla Carmichael filed to run for the Hillsborough Board of Commissioners. Davidson is running for one of three available seats on the school board. One of those seats will be open. Current board member Gregory McElveen is an incumbent whose term expires this year. He says he will not be running for re-election. The other two incumbents, James Barrett and Michelle Brownstein, have both already filed for re-election. Davidson has been chair of the Frank Porter Graham School Improvement Team for the past year. He was a member of the team while the school was transitioning to a dual language program.
Serving during the year where that decision was made and then being the chair during transition year, I think it was about as relevant experience as you can get.
Meanwhile, in Hillsborough, two seats are available on the town's Board of Commissioners. Neither of the two incumbents are running this year. Carmichael is one of three local residents who has filed to run for those two open seats. She's a certified public accountant. She says she's never run for public office before, but she's excited for the chance to work for Hillsborough.
I spend a lot of time in Hillsborough and have been connected with a lot of my neighbors and community members, and I just want to make sure that the voices of all Hillsborough residents are represented.
The deadline to file for municipal or school board office is July 19th, this Friday at noon. Election day itself is November 5th. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, the signature by Governor Pat McCrory, the Tax Simplification and Reduction Act, will be the first change to the tax code in about 80 years. On Wednesday, the House and Senate needed one more vote on the Tax Simplification and Reduction Act before it was sent to the governor for a signature. Monday, North Carolina's legislature unveiled the act. On Tuesday, the House and Senate tentatively voted in the bill with strong GOP approval and little liberal support. North Carolina Senator Ellie Kinnaird of Chapel Hill is weighing in on this tax reform package. She's not happy about it. You can get all the details in our next newscast on WCHL and also on our website, chapelboro.com. Construction on roads in Chapel Hill is picking up momentum now after weeks of rain. The three big projects are located at Smith Level Road, Weaver Dairy Road, and South Columbia Street. Resident engineer Chris Kirkman says a little extra work has gotten those projects going again.
Yeah, it did slow it down, but in last week on Columbia Street, for example, we were able to get a lot done, and getting a lot done this week, so we were able to regain momentum. They were this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Kirkman says he's used to working against the weather to complete a project. However, he says the rain this summer has been the biggest opponent while working on these roads.
This year, obviously, looking at the weather data, that this has been unbelievable as far as rainfall past June and July, but fortunately, we were able to regain a lot of momentum last week and this week.
Although rain has slowed construction of the roads during the summertime, hurricanes could pose similar threats. Kirkman says the construction teams are working to complete the roads by their estimated deadlines.
We would get the section between 86 or MLK, that end of it, all the way down to the roundabout. Hopefully that'll be done by late August.
Kirkman says Smith Level is estimated to be finished in May of 2015. South Columbia will be finished around December of 2014. Your local health department has been recognized by the North Carolina Division of Public Health Communicable Disease Branch for best practice in an outbreak response associated with spring 2013 measles outbreak. Community Health Services Supervisor at the Orange County Health Department, Judy Butler, says the county's effective response was rooted in its quick action after cases were discovered.
It's not something that you can let lie on your desk for a couple of days and then start working on it.
During the spread, 25 quarantine and isolation orders were given by the county, and 8 cases of measles infection were confirmed.
This is the largest number of quarantine and isolation orders we've had to issue in quite some time. And one reason for that is that measles is highly infectious.
All of the measles cases in this incident were traced back to exposure in Stokes County. WCHL News Time, 7:39, 21 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Rand Northam joins us now in the studio. And, Rand, what's happening at chapelboro.com today?
Well, Allison Carter has a new column up in her section called 1550 Mom, and it's called Where's Waldo? Talks about some local shopping tips. So you'll want to check that out. We're excited to announce a new column from Greg Barbera, a former editor at All About Beer magazine, who will be writing On the Hunt with Greg Barber. You'll want to check that out on our lifestyle section as well. Voting started for the shortlist. We mentioned that. Already more than 100 voters out there, so a lot of people excited about this one. The best place to eat outdoors, and there's a lot of great places here in the Chapel Hill, Carver, Orange County area, and a lot of great choices on our list. We narrowed it down to 11 after more than our editor, Jordan Rogers, mentioning that more than 100 people submitting different locations. So we've got 11 up there for you that you can choose, and it's a great great summer so far. A little bit wet, but there's some great places with coverings, so you can go out to those. That's our short list available in our lifestyle section. A lot more available. Lots of news going on right now. I was actually just looking through some of our news stories, and there was one down further than I expected. It was onto the next page of our news pages because we've just had so much going on there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you've missed any of our stories, if you want more on our stories, you can find those on our website, chapelboro.com, as well, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
I'm still thinking about 1550 Mom. I like that title.
1550 Mom, that's a good one.
I wonder if you could get a 1550 Mom bypass.
We'll have to make a t-shirt for her.
Yes. Man. Hey, well, listen, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes here.
Sounds good.
WCHL News Time, 741, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Coming up, Wiley Post says the governor is upset, and look what it took to get him that way. That's on the way in today's commentary, and that'll be followed by What You're Saying in the Street on WCHL. Listen, we know everyone likes to get in shape for summer, but just because it's already July does not mean it's too late. We have an incredible giveaway that will ensure you get a total body transformation while you have fun and stay active. It's the Move It, Be Fit Wealth of Health giveaway. We're giving one person a year of unlimited fitness classes, personal training, fitness assessment, and nutritional coaching, and Move It, Be Fit gear, all valued at over $1,500. Now, that is a wealth of health from the great team at Move It, Be Fit, a personal training and yoga studio located in Southwest Durham, focusing on helping you be healthy and reach your fitness goals. You can enter until Sunday at midnight by visiting chapelboro.com, and to increase your odds of winning, also enter at WCHL's Facebook page. And there's another way you can enter. That is by being caller number 5 right now at 919-929-WCHL.
Moe's Bottle Shop is all about discovery. We've got your go-to favorites, but you've got to believe Moe's knows of at least 3 other brews that will blow your mind. American craft beer is entering a new era, and we're out front. You can get at Moe's what you can't get anywhere else. Hundreds of different 12-ounce single beers for your six-pack pleasure. Go to mosbottleshop.com to find out who we are, where we are, what we do, and how it works. Moe's Bottle Shop in Hillsboro.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
We're speaking with Stephen Lair of Homestead Senior Care.
When people think about Homestead Senior Care, I want them to think these people are part of the solution. These people are local. They're doing their best to help. It's a big issue that we're facing with aging in this country and in this community. We're bound and determined that we're going to make a difference here.
If someone wants to find out more about Homestead Senior Care, what's the first step they should take?
Well, you can go to homestead.com. Our local website has got a ton of different resources and links to our blog and the different things that we're talking about and are a part of in the community. That's the first way. Or you can call us up at 919-933-3300, and we'd love to plug you into what we're doing here in the local community.
They always say that if you don't want to work, find something you're really passionate about, that you really enjoy doing, and then you never have to work a day in your life. That seems to fit you as well as anybody I know.
That's right. It sounds very familiar. That's the advice my dad gave me. He said, find something you love doing, and then figure out how to make a living at it. And as long as you never get those two things confused, you'll be a happy man. That's where I find myself. We love what we do. We love being able to tell our families and our friends at the end of the day that we made a difference. And that's the biggest part of Homestead Senior Care, is we want to make a difference. We talked about that before, about this sense of community that Chapel Hill seems to possess. And that's what Homestead works to be a part of. We want to be a part of this community. We want to help enrich the community, whether or not it's through education and through getting information out there about what people are struggling with, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and so many different things that are affecting all of us, or providing actual service to help alleviate some of those problems. But either way, we want to be a part of the solution, and we want to feel like at the end of the day we made a difference in Chapel Hill.
Our job is to keep people independent and living life on their own terms as long as possible. And we do any number of things, but the goal is to keep people living life on their own terms.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Thank you for the phone calls. Congratulations to Stephanie Montgomery of Durham, who called in and got qualified for the Wealth of Health giveaway from Move It, Be Fit and WCHL. Qualifier next hour on WCHL. 7:45, 15 minutes until 8 o'clock.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
this is why we post. Finally, the puppet has been offended, not by the hundreds of North Carolinians who have flocked to Raleigh every Monday for the past Moral Monday protest, not by the NAACP who has called out McCrory on how he has lost all control of his party in the General Assembly, not by the local papers that have been reporting his far-right agenda that has passed through this General Assembly, not even by Rachel Nash here at WCHL. He was offended by a newspaper editor 512 miles away in New York City, and not even a registered voter of North Carolina. Yes, our puppet governor was offended and replied to an article in the Times that called out his far-right agenda for the whole world to see. It told all America how, in January, after the election of Pat McCrory as a moderate governor, how the GOP took control of both legislative branches for the first time since Reconstruction. Since then, state government has become a demolition derby, tearing down years of progress in public education, tax policy, racial equality in the courtroom, and access to the ballot box. How could this be offensive? It's the truth. Our state has the fifth highest unemployment rate in the country, and many Republicans insulted the workers by blaming their joblessness on generous benefits. The cruelest decision by lawmakers went into effect this month, ending federal unemployment benefits for 70,000 residents. Another 100,000 will lose their checks later this year because our elected officials chose to give in to corporations and not pass a jobs bill that is desperately needed. Those still receiving benefits will find that they have been cut by a third to a maximum of only $350 a week from $535. And the length of time they can receive benefits has been slashed from 26 weeks to as few as 12. In fact, North Carolina is the only state that has turned down long-term federal benefits because it wants to pay back the $2.5 billion it owes to Washington 3 years sooner. How could this be offensive? It's the truth. So my question to the puppet, how can the truth be so offensive that you had to reply to him and not your voters? North Carolina was once considered a beacon of farsightedness of the South, an exception in a region of poor education, intolerance, and tight-fistedness. In a few short months, Republicans have begun to dismantle a reputation that took years to build with a new tax policy that will benefit Art Pope both as a citizen and a businessman, lowering his personal and corporate tax bill to zero. How could this be offensive? It's the truth. And this is Wiley Post.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Michael Papich. The state Senate is set to work on a bill that would require North Carolinians to show an ID before they vote. We hit the streets to find out what you think.
Barbara Duke, Chapel Hill. I would say yes to ascertain a person's of legal age to vote, etc.
My name is Matt Smith, and I live in Carborough. I think it's stupid, personally. I mean, I just think it's one way that they're trying to keep the vote and keep the voters down, clearly.
Miriam Avendano, Carborough. Show an ID to be able to vote? Yeah, I think that's fine.
Michaela Blackwell and Mibbin. I feel like it kind of messes with privacy. I don't think people would like that.
I live in Charlotte. My name is Steven Simpson. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with showing an ID. I think we're in a time now where everybody should have an ID. Everybody should be able to tell who they are.
How would you feel about needing an ID to vote?
Ken Ellis in Pittsburgh. I feel that's a good move. I have no problem with providing an ID for anything like that. We as Americans, you know, should be willing to prove that we are and not have a problem with that.
My name is Richard Thompson. I live in Chapel Hill. Personally, don't mean to discriminate, don't mean it to be, but I just think it would be a good thing. So I'm kind of for it. I can't get on an airplane. I can't buy alcohol. I can't do a lot of things unless I show a driver's license or a government issued identification.
Keith Sneed, APEC. I don't have a problem showing your voter registration card, but voter ID, I don't support it.
Glenda Cruz in Durham. Sure, I agree with it because we need some identification and some confirmation of where people live, who they are, and for everything to be legit.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs.
If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers, good to go.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Time again for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Our traffic report is brought to you by Southern Rail, an eclectic mix of restaurant, a station bar and beer garden, and the Tiger Room. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carborough. And now with your morning traffic, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly out there. There is one accident to let you know about. It's at I-40 and Airport Boulevard. Really doesn't look to be causing any problems right now on I-40 eastbound or westbound, so that is good news. But use caution as you approach that area if that's your regular route of travel, or try to avoid the area. Give yourself a little bit extra time to travel this morning maybe as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Southern Season. Visit today and experience all things delicious in one amazing destination. Shop their world-class wine selection, expansive assortment of artisan candies, exquisite housewares, and famous gift baskets for every occasion at University Mall in Chapel Hill, or go online, southernseason.com. 75 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. High today in the low 90s. Tonight, more of the same, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain with a low of 72. Tomorrow, exactly the same as today, high again in the 90s. Wayne Pond is with us now on WCHL. Good morning, Wayne, and I hope you have a good word for us today. I need it today.
Well, that makes two of us sharing the same fond hope.
Okay.
All right, pal. Well, listen, here we go. We're gonna draw on the wonderful, rich linguistic tradition of Yiddish.
Oh, great.
For the word of the day today. This is just wonderful, Ron. You're going to love it. The word of the day is schnorrer. Schnorrer. Okay?
Okay.
Now, you know, Yiddish is a language which has given us words like bagel and klutz and kibitz and things like that. Well, are you familiar with schnorrer, what it means to be a schnorrer? S-C-H. N-O-R-R-E-R. Ever run into a schnorrer?
I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
I'll bet you have. You just didn't recognize it as such. Huh? All right. According to the wordsmith, one more time on the spelling. S-C-H-N-O-R-R-E-R. Okay?
All right.
One who habitually takes advantage of the generosity of other persons, often with an air of entitlement. I was thinking, hey, it doesn't sound like it might emanate in Southern politics, but we got a whole capital full of these clowns over in Raleigh. Huh? they used to call them Republicans. Now we'll call them schnorrers. One who habitually takes advantage of the generosity of other people, often with an air of entitlement. So,
there are so many great Yiddish words out there. I love that one.
Oh, don't change the subject, Rob. Don't change the subject. All right, there it is. There's your word of the day. Have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow.
You too, buddy. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in here and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you could do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. WCHL Clean Joke of the Day time. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the amazing Lauren Stafford coming in with a big grin on her face. You must know something I don't. You have something up your sleeve?
Never. What? Ron, you know everything. You know all. Oh, there's nothing I know that you don't know.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Boy, you got another thing coming.
Well, I like to tell myself that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't
worry. You just tell yourself whatever makes you feel comfortable.
That's right. That's right. Tell yourself whatever you need to sleep well at night.
That's right. Exactly.
So, we have another good joke from Pete. I guess he heard his wife Kate's joke.
Yeah, that was a good joke yesterday.
It was a good joke. And he decided, you know.
He's got to retaliate.
He's got to retaliate. That's right. Got to come back. And he has another Duke joke. So I'm starting to think he's not the biggest fan of Duke.
Yeah,
it's just me.
His wife must be a Duke graduate.
House divided, maybe, going on there.
Maybe.
All right, so, just to make sure I got the right joke here. All right.
All right, yeah.
So a couple of Duke men in a pickup truck drove into a lumberyard.
Duke men drive pickup trucks? I didn't realize that.
All right, a couple of Duke men in their SUVs.
All right.
One of the Dukies walked in the office and said, "We need some 4x2s.
Mm-hmm.
The clerk said, "Do you mean 2x4s? The man said, "Wait, let me go out and check." And he went back to the truck. He returned a minute later and said, yeah, I mean 2x4s, sorry. The clerk replied, "All right, how long do you need them?" The customer paused for a minute and said, "I'd better go check." After a while, the customer returned to the office and said, "You know, we're going to need them a long time. We're going to build a house."
For heaven's sake. Thank you so much, Lauren. That's a clean joke of the day.
Got it, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
When our Chapel Hill community is in trouble, who do we turn to? Well, we rely heavily on our emergency responders. One such person is Robert Bosworth, the former Deputy Fire Chief and Special Operations Officer for the town of Chapel Hill. Robert Bosworth is Chapel Hill's Emergency Management Coordinator, and we certainly rely on him and all the other folks who work with him during the recent flooding.
People need to be aware of their own situations. They need to be aware of what the weather's doing, and they also need to be aware of what risks where they're either working or living, what the risks are to those areas. If they are working or living in a flood-prone area, they need to be watching the weather more because we know just how quickly the water comes up. You need to be thinking about where you're going to park your car so that it doesn't get damaged by flood. You need to be aware of when it starts raining and do you have a way to get away from if you were in a flood-prone area so that you don't get caught up in the flood, or other measures such as sheltering in place. If you're on a ground floor apartment, do you know that you can go to the second floor and wait it out? It's the same things that sort of are preached always in emergency management, which is be prepared to take care of yourself at the start of it all. And if you get into a situation where it is life and death, that's where the 911 calls are so important so that we can get the responders out to those areas. But the biggest thing is be aware of your situation.
Robert Bosworth is today's WCHL hometown hero. He could be our hometown hero every day of the year because he's always on duty. And he says the recent flooding that we got in our community was unfortunate, but if it happens again, he and the other responders will be just as ready as they can possibly be.
Some of the command and control stuff is heightened just because if we start seeing the storms building, we'll be more observant. We will have communication between the different departments. We'll be ready to put out barricades to the areas that we know flood. But the biggest thing that we're watching for is at what point do we trigger a full-blown response? And I think one of the things that we were taught is just how quickly that can happen. And I think we're sort of in that same vulnerable state just because there's nowhere really for the water to go. We're still so saturated on the ground. So probably the biggest thing that we're doing to prepare is the recognition of how vulnerable we are and making sure that we have those lines of communication up between the different departments so that we can respond as quickly as possible.
Robert Bosworth, longtime firefighter and the town of Chapel Hill's emergency management coordinator. He's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we